Welcome to the Deep Dive. We've got all the source material you send over, articles, notes, research, quite a pile here. And our job today is to really wade through it all for you.
That's right. We'll pull out the absolute must-know stuff, the essentials, and try to connect the dots based on what you've provided. Think of it as, well, a focused briefing.
And today's focus is something pretty critical if you're importing custom steel parts. We're talking about navigating customs declarations and, maybe more importantly, how to avoid those really costly fines and delays.
Yeah, it sounds like paperwork, maybe just admin, but yeah. The sources you shared are quite clear. Small mistakes here, they can have significant financial impacts, disruptions too, and a key point right up front is that the buck stops with the importer. You're responsible.
Okay, so our goal here is to extract those crucial insights. You know, what are the common mistakes? What do you really need to watch out for? How do you actually stay compliant? Let's dig in.
Right. So maybe the best place to start is with the common pitfalls. The sources highlight these recurring errors that often lead to penalties.
Okay, what are the big ones? What trips people up most often, according to this material?
Well, probably the number one thing mentioned is misclassifying the product, using the wrong harmonized tariff schedule code, the HTS code.
Ah, the HTS code. Yeah, that sounds fundamental, like everything else builds on that.
It really does. Get that wrong, and a lot of other things follow. Another major one is undervaluing the shipment, basically declaring a lower value than what customs considers the true dutiable value, usually cost, insurance, and freight, the CIF value.
Okay, so HTS code, correct value. Got it. What else is on that list?
Declaring the wrong country of origin. That's a big one. And it often connects to another point, failing to declare applicable tariffs. Things like Section 232 or Section 301 duties or those anti-dumping and countervailing duties, AD/CVD.
Right. The specific steel tariffs seem like a minefield in themselves.
They absolutely are. Missing them is a huge issue. And one more, the sources flag is inconsistent Incoterms across your documents.
Incoterms. That's about who pays for shipping and when risk transfers, isn't it? How does inconsistency there cause customs issues?
Exactly. It defines who's responsible for what and when. So if your commercial invoice says, say, FOB, but your transport documents imply CIF terms, customs looks at that and thinks, wait, what's the real value here? Who's actually responsible? It just creates confusion and delays.
That makes sense. So you've got HTS codes, value, origin, missing tariffs, inconsistent Incoterms. And the sources also mention basic documentation errors too, right? Like faulty invoices or packing lists.
Yes, definitely. Inaccurate or missing paperwork. And each of these errors, as the sources outline, maybe in that table you saw, has pretty specific consequences.
What kind of consequences are we talking about?
Well, for HTS errors, it usually means you've paid the wrong amount of duty, either too much or too little, and there's usually a penalty on top of correcting the duty, undervaluing, that can lead to fines or even seizure of the goods.
Whoa, seizure. They can actually take your entire shipment? That really underlines the need to get the value right.
It does. And getting the origin wrong can mean you misapply AD/CVD duties, or maybe miss them entirely when they should have applied. Omitting those Section 232 or 301 tariffs, you're almost certainly looking at a retroactive bill for all the missed duty, sometimes going back years, plus penalties.
And the Incoterms or documentation issues.
That often leads straight to delays at the port, sometimes even denial of entry altogether. Customs needs clear, consistent information. Inconsistencies raise red flags, and frankly, they also make you more likely to get picked for a full audit later.
Okay, it really sounds like even what seems like a small slip-up can snowball. You mentioned HTS classification first, and the sources call it foundational.
Yeah.
Can we zoom in on that? Why is that code so critical, especially for steel?
It's really the master key. That HTS code directly sets the base duty rate. It also determines if your steel parts qualify for preferential treatment under free trade agreements. The sources mention USMCA for Mexico and Canada and CORIS for Korea as examples.
So a wrong code could mean you pay the wrong duty rate and you potentially miss out on FTA savings you should have gotten.
Exactly. Or, maybe worse, you claim FTA benefits based on the wrong code or origin when you aren't actually eligible. That brings its own set of serious penalties. And critically, the HTS code determines if those trade remedies apply Section 232, Section 301, AD/CVD to your specific part.
Right. So if your steel part should have a Section 232 tariff based on its type, but you use an HTS code that doesn't trigger it, you've just failed to declare a required tariff.
Precisely. That's why the sources emphasize it so heavily, an incorrect HTS. It directly leads to wrong duty calculations or missing regulatory requirements entirely.
Okay, clearly vital. So What do the sources suggest? What are the best practices for actually getting the HCS code right?
They offer some good practical steps. One is getting a binding ruling from CBP, Customs and Border Protection. That's a formal written decision on how your specific product should be classified. You can rely on that legally for future imports.
So getting the official answer locked in straight from the source.
Yes, gives you certainty. Another thing is checking the CROSS database, that's CBP's online system of published rulings on similar items. You can learn a lot from how they've classified things before.
Learning from precedent. Makes sense.
Definitely. The sources also really stress keeping detailed technical specs and engineering drawings for your parts. If you get audited, having that backup to justify your HTS choice is crucial. And lastly, they strongly recommend validating your classifications with an expert, like a licensed customs broker or a trade attorney, just getting a second pair of experienced eyes.
Diligence, good records, and expert help. Seems sensible. But what if you do get it wrong? What are the actual penalties under U.S. law? The sources break it down by levels of misconduct.
Yes, and this is where importers really need to pay attention. U.S. customs law has tiers of penalties. The lowest level is negligence. That's basically a failure to exercise reasonable care. The penalty there can be up to 2 times the duty that was lost or underpaid.
Wow, 2 times the duty just for not being careful enough. That can add up fast.
It really can. The next level up is gross negligence. This implies, you know, a more serious disregard for the rules, maybe actual knowledge of the error, or just reckless indifference. There, the penalty can jump to 4 times the duty loss.
4 times. How does CBP draw the line between simple negligence and gross negligence? Is it about intent?
The sources suggest it's about the degree of carelessness or knowledge. Negligence might be an honest mistake, maybe a poor internal process. Gross negligence could be ignoring clear red flags, not having basic procedures that an experienced importer should have. CBP decides based on the facts of the case during their investigation.
And the highest level.
That's civil fraud. This involves proving willful intent to violate the law, to deceive customs. And here, you're not just facing civil fines. You could face criminal charges, seizure of goods, and even lose your right to import entirely.
That's potentially business ending. And these aren't always caught right away, are they? Audits can go back years.
Absolutely. CBP can audit records going back typically 5 years. So an error you made on one shipment, if repeated over time, could be seen as a pattern. CBP might call it systemic misclassification or evidence of gross negligence across dozens or hundreds of entries. That leads to huge retroactive duty bills and penalties. Plus, you'll likely face much closer scrutiny on all future imports.
The examples in the sources make this very real. They're not just theoretical.
Not at all. They mention one case, a company used the wrong HTS for some specialized alloy steel valve parts. Seemed minor entry by entry. But when customs audited, over $10,000 in back duties because the correct rate was higher.
10 grand just from one part type.
Mm-hmm.
Across who knows how many shipments over the years.
Ouch.
Exactly. Another example showed misuse of an FTA, claiming benefits for steel parts that didn't actually qualify based on origin rules. The result had to pay back all the standard duty retroactively, plus they lost their FTA privileges going forward.
While losing the FTA benefit itself is a long-term hit, what about those specific steel tariffs, like Section 232? Any examples there?
Yeah, the sources mention an importer who just missed applying Section 232 tariffs on certain steel. When caught, over $50,000 in retroactive tariffs owed, and that's before penalties were added on top. These numbers show how fast a simple error can become a major financial problem.
Yeah, those figures are certainly motivating for getting things right.
Yeah.
Okay, but what if you find the mistake first, before CBP comes knocking? Is there anything you can do? The sources talked about prior disclosure.
Yes, prior disclosure. That's a really crucial mechanism the sources detail. It's a formal process where an importer can voluntarily report errors they've discovered before CBP initiates an investigation or asks about that specific issue, the big advantage. You can often significantly reduce, sometimes even completely eliminate, the penalties, especially for negligence or gross negligence.
It's like putting your hand up and saying, hey, we messed up here, we found it, and we want to make it right, hoping they'll catch you some slack on penalties.
Essentially, yes, it shows good faith. The process, according to the sources, involves a few key steps. First, you have to conduct your own thorough review, find the errors yourself.
Right, you have to self-discover.
Correct. Second, you identify and document exactly what went wrong, which entries, what the correct information should have been, like the right HTS or value. Third, you formally notify CBP in writing that you intend to file a prior disclosure, detailing the error. Fourth, you calculate and pay any duties, taxes, or fees you actually owed, plus interest.
And if you follow all those steps, and you do it before they start looking.
According to the sources, if the disclosure is truly prior, meaning CBP hasn't started asking about that issue yet and it's complete and accurate, then for negligence or gross negligence, CBP must waive the penalty. For fraud, penalties might be reduced, but usually not waived entirely.
That's potentially huge savings. So when do the sources say it makes the most sense to use prior disclosure?
They particularly recommend it if you find systemic problems, like you've been using the wrong HTS code across many shipments. Disclosing helps head off a potential gross negligence finding. Also, if you find you've made FTA eligibility errors, disclosing shows you're proactively correcting it. Same if you've underreported values, it helps avoid those more severe fraud implications. And if you mistakenly claim tariff exclusions, disclosure helps clean the slate.
It really sounds like something importers should build into their compliance routine. You know, self-auditing and knowing this option exists if you find something.
Absolutely. It's about shifting from being reactive, just waiting for CBP to find something, to being proactive, taking control and managing the risk yourself.
Okay, so let's try to pull all this together from the sources. We've talked about common mistakes, the huge importance of HTS, the pretty severe consequences, and this tool, prior disclosure. What's the bottom line advice for someone importing custom steel parts? How do they stay out of trouble?
I think the overarching message from all the material is really about vigilance and accuracy. It boils down to this. Avoid fines by really focusing on accurate HTS classification. Declare the true value and the correct origin. Keep meticulous, organized, accurate documents for everything. Have a process to regularly audit your own entries, catch your own mistakes, and crucially, know about prior disclosure and be ready to use it if you find errors. And given the complexity, the sources strongly suggest working closely with experts, like a licensed customs broker or a trade lawyer.
It definitely sounds like the upfront effort, even if it seems like a lot, is probably way less costly than dealing with the fallout from mistakes.
Oh, absolutely. The potential penalties, the back duties, the delays, the damage to your reputation, it all massively outweighs the cost of investing in robust compliance from the beginning.
So really understanding these core concepts, HTS, value, origin, those tricky tariffs, plus having good documentation habits, doing internal checks, and knowing about tools like prior disclosure. That gives you a much clearer path to navigate this. It should make you feel better equipped to manage this whole process.
Yeah, it helps take away some of the mystery around the biggest risks, for sure.
It certainly highlights just how intricate and, frankly, unforgiving these customs rules can be. Which does make you wonder, doesn't it? Thinking about the broader picture here. When the regulations are this complex, and even honest mistakes by companies trying their best can lead to such hefty multi-year penalties. Is a system focused so much on catching errors after they happen really the most effective way to encourage compliance in global trade? Or, you know, does the sheer severity of penalties for sometimes unintentional slips place an almost unfair burden on importers? That's definitely something to think about after digging into this material.